Swain. So for this half hour, we're joined by Dean Ingram, the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Teachers Association. And Dean has been in the news a lot, as have the people he represents, dealing with all of the pandemic challenges that are very current and very real in the province. Dean, good to have you with us today.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Let's start with how your teachers are doing. I think, having lived through it here in Ontario, the switch from in-room, in-class learning to virtual learning, and the assumption that many people have that it isn't a great transition, is one that is false. I mean, we're, what, 4 days into the switch? How's that going? How are your members doing?
Well, teachers, like many in this province, and dare I say across the country and the world, are really experiencing a lot of anxiety and stress about what COVID is, what it can do, how we're going to deal with it. That being said, the move to online learning, our members, teachers like everyone else, they've got individual levels of experience and comfort with online platforms and working remotely. Fundamentally, however, teachers are lifetime learners, and they'll always welcome opportunities for professional learning. Our members, the online teaching and learning environment, it's been a topic of considerable interest and understandably so over the past little while. One thing I did hear from Mr. Stack and the department as well is that we were encouraged to hear that supports are available for teachers when they need additional training when it comes to online instruction. And we'd encourage any member who feels this way to reach out to the district, but I would be remiss if I didn't applaud the great work that some of our special interest council have been doing. These specialized groups of volunteer members within our association, they've been active, they've been offering support to colleagues in their special areas, they've been offering opportunities to learn more about online teaching and learning, and I see numerous examples through social media of teachers reaching out to each other through colleagues to help them through this.
Again, we've been through this a couple of times up here in Ontario, so I see it from a parent's end, and I have a five-year-old, and I know how tough it is and how much work his teachers work to put in to try and engage that age group. And preschoolers, it's a whole different method of pedagogy, as you know, than teenagers. Just a couple of questions around that, as best you can answer them. What is the difference in terms of preparation between preparing for in-class, depending on the age group you're about to work with, and preparing to do it virtually? I would think that trying to engage students virtually can be harder. So what have you learned? What have your members learned about preparation?
Well, this is one thing I speak with great authority on, because my job that I'll be returning to post my presidency is as an online educator through our Center for Distance Learning Innovation. There is a tremendous amount of preparation difference, as teachers are seeing right now, and parents as well. The degree to which you inspire student engagement, the degree to which you ensure the students, there's lots of things, preparing lessons, all that. So teachers had to make a shift to something that they haven't been exposed to directly. And as Mr. Stack alluded to in earlier this week, every plan when developed oftentimes had to be tweaked upon implementation. But that being said, our members are professionals, and they want to ensure that they and students succeed. I've seen numerous posts on social media showing teachers doing everything they can in what are very much new and uncharted waters for many of them. Teachers are doing exactly that. I wouldn't be able to count the number of posts I've seen of teachers taking, for one case, a shower stall, using this as a whiteboard. Teachers changing their basement and turning into a yoga studio or a fitness studio to deliver physical education curriculum. And at the same time, these individuals are balancing the needs of their own families, their own children, and doing what they can to maintain student learning. And I would urge everyone to be patient and understanding, because it is a new shift. It's a new shift for students. It's a new shift for teachers. And teachers are doing everything they can. It's not business as usual, but I'm very proud and I'm very appreciative of the effort that our province teachers are doing as they work through everything they can in the circumstance they find themselves in to maintain a learning environment for students.
What do we know so far, Dean, about quality of learning? There was a report, I believe it was yesterday, the Minister of Education speaking to the fact that older students learn better in classrooms and the like. What information do teachers have access to that is able to help guide the quality side of the learning? Their creativity is so wonderful to hear. What about quality, and how do teachers play a role in helping ensure a similar level of quality to what you'd get in a classroom?
Well, I would make the statement that the best environment for students is in class. I've always maintained this, even as an online educator, and that's what I've done for 10-plus years before I assume my presidency. Online learning is a complement and a supplement.
Okay.
It provides programming options that would not exist otherwise. And we see this sort of problem through very rural parts of the problem, or for some students that have medical reasons why they can't attend. But it's not a replacement. That being said, I'm very confident that our teachers are doing what they can. They're getting through. They're addressing the learning objectives in a manner that's different for them and different for students. But at the end of the day, I have all the faith in the world that students will receive the curriculum delivery. In our high school things are more regimented and structured, which is why they've made a move in terms of the amount of screen time available to high school versus elementary versus primary, and that's a prudent move. But at the end of the day, I want to stress this, teachers are doing everything they can in a new environment for them and students to make sure that they get exposure to what they need to deliver classroom instruction and for student learning to occur.
Now, I don't want to be too premature, but eventually students will hopefully be going back into the classroom in Newfoundland and Labrador. I hope you are blessed, and this is only a two-week or slightly longer lockdown. That hasn't been the case, as you know, in other jurisdictions. It started as two, and it's gone on and on and on for a whole variety of reasons. You can't control COVID. Nobody can control COVID. Public health has to guide all of this. But as you look to an eventual return to classroom in school learning, what are you hoping to see in terms of accommodations that are made for that? I know, again, a lot of the debate that you've helped spawn and others across the country has been classroom size of the class, how big that's going to be, safety and wellness protections and the like. What are you going to be looking for as that discussion starts to happen?
Well, I think first and foremost, that the safety of everyone in our school communities, from our teachers to our students to everyone who engages with students, everything has to be done to stop the spread of COVID-19, and that has to be the main priority when we do return. We know the variants, and there may be other variants, but I think what all this situation most recently demonstrates is that there's lessons to be learned. As you mentioned, we've repeatedly expressed concern regarding the public health precautions we see in place in our schools and those in other public venues and the community at large. We see recent trends demonstrate that a large number of new cases were among school-age individuals. To date, our schools have been allowed to operate with little or no physical distancing. We have raised the issue with class sizes long before COVID. I think myself and you shared this conversation earlier this year and even before COVID on this. We have relaxed mask rules that are very difficult to enforce. With this latest variant, B.1.17, here and on the move, as we see by the news this morning, how it's spreading to very far-reaching parts of this province. At the end of the day, and this is critically important, when our schools reopen, and I truly hope that it will, and I truly hope that in the next 2 to 3 weeks, if everyone adheres to the safety measures, and I'll throw a bouquet towards Dr. Fitzgerald, her guidance has served this province extraordinarily well. It's imperative that protections in our schools be enhanced in order to prevent a recurrence of what we're now experiencing. At a very minimum, masks, ideally three-layered, need to be made mandatory from K to 12 unless there's document exemptions. That's the position we've taken since July.
And who would provide those masks and pay for those masks? Would that be up to the individual, or in the case of teachers, when you're required to wear them, that you would assume that the school board would bear that cost?
Well, right now, as an association, we distributed masks to our members. But fundamentally, in every employer-employee relationship, the responsibility providing needed materials and resources, I think, and this is something not unique to education, it should be applicable to, if people need protection to do their jobs, those protections should be provided by the employer. But that's another discussion at another level. But fundamentally, we need this mandatory masks K-12, including students, unless there's a document exemption. This is one key piece that needs to be looked at a minimum. There are other measures as well, but at a minimum, that needs to happen.
just before we go to break, one of the things you've been talking about this week, and again, I think we touched on this before, but it's arguably more pertinent than it was when we last talked when I was hosting Open Line, and that is vaccinations. You spoke earlier in the week about the importance of educators being prioritized. What feedback have you gotten on that? Have you seen any movement coming with that?
Well, I haven't seen anything definitive. Again, as I mentioned earlier this week on another media interview, I did have a discussion with the Premier earlier this week, and he listened, he engaged. I've engaged with the Minister of Education on this at several points as well. And it's something that has happened. We've heard the Minister of Education. We've heard others as well. We've heard the Premier talk about, very clearly talk about, that our K-12 education system is an essential service, and teachers are essential workers. Vaccinating teachers and those who work in schools would add an additional layer of protection for the system, an increase, and I think this is what everyone wants, increase the likelihood of schools staying open safely once in-school class resume. And while the details of the Phase 2 vaccination priorities have not yet been identified, we believe that teachers should be included. Anyone that has a take on additional risk must be considered for the vaccination. And teachers are one group that do based on their workplaces.
Just before we go to the break, one follow-up question on this. How has the public been reacting to your message on this, that teachers should be a priority group that gets vaccinated?
Well, I think overall they agree that teachers should be amongst the group. And I want to stress, we're not saying that teachers should be the only group in Phase 2. But the recent outbreak has been largely amongst school-age individuals. Governments clearly stated that our K-12 education system is an essential service. You can't maintain a K-12 public education system without teachers. We're seeing, again, the impact that a suspension of in-school class have had on our society and the economy overall. And if keeping schools open for in-class instruction, once we get past the current crisis, is a priority, then keeping teachers and other school staff protected and healthy must go hand in hand with that. In terms of the general public, I just refer to a question of the day that VOC had 2 days ago. The majority of people in the province agree that teachers should be a priority group for vaccination.
Well, if you're talking about VOCM, it has to be right, Dean. Anyway, teasing you. Time for our first break with Deanie.